January 19th, 2010.
This is Nordlitz thing. He's not going to be here, so I have to be. I want to make sure that I get the tape and have responsibility.
Last week we learned the Mishnah in the end of Perek Ela Nemorim. Mishnah describes that Agrippus HaMelech was not really roy to serve as a melech. So when on Chalamoid Sukkis, following a Shnas HaShmita, since he was acting as the melech, so he was reading Hakel. That was the practice Bizman Baisheni. Strictly speaking, there's no such halacha, but that was the practice that the melech learns Hakel. He was learning Hakel. And part of the Kriyas HaTorah is you have to learn the Parsha, the Dinam of the Melech. So he reads the Parsha, V'such alas alach ishnacha shalo achichahu. He's not eligible, he's not Jewish, he's an Eved. He had no right to run the Malchus, so he started to cry. So the Mishnah just says that the Chachamim, the Tzibur said, achinu ata, it's okay, don't worry about it. And he went weiter. They tell him there's nothing wrong. So the Gemara says, Bo'os Hashua nischaibus anem shalisol kloya. That was an act of chanifa. When a person is doing something wrong, you're not allowed to pat him on the back and say, don't worry about it. You're encouraging him to continue doing wrong. He realized now that he's not right to serve as a melech, and he starts to cry. So tell him, you're right, you're not supposed to be the melech, step down. So since they encouraged him, so they all deserve the punishment. So the Gemara quotes memory after memory after memory, how terrible it is when an individual person does chanifa, or when the community does chanifa. So that's what we left off last week on Mem Beis Amin Aleph, about the sixth line from the top. V'amar Ablozer, another member, the Gemara quoted a few other members. V'amar Ablozer, another member called Eda, if you have a community. Sheyesh bo chanufa, if the Gemara spoke about individual people who do chanifa, they pat the Rishoyim on the back and they encourage them to keep on staying the way they are. Or if the whole community, by us, the whole community does chanifa. No one says anything straight. By us, the whole world is based on chanif. So the Gemara says, "Ba'usa kinida." It's disgusting, like a woman who is a nida. So by the goyim, they would stay away from a woman who was a nida. Shenema ki adas chanif galmud, an eda community where everything is done with chanifa is like a galmud. And what does the word galmud mean? She came bekrake hayam, and in certain areas in the Middle East, karm la nida galmudah. What does the word galmudo mean? My galmudo. How does the word galmudo come to mean an isha nido? It's a combination of different words. Gemulo do mi bailo. This woman is removed from her husband. The woman is a nido. So the pasuk says in Iyov, ki adas chanef, galmud, a community where there's a lot of chanifa is like an isha nido. The other communities will ostracize them. They'll look at them like they're not normal. Today the whole world is full of chanif. The Amr Ablozer, he says, another member about chanifa called Sheish Bachanufa. If you have a community where there's a lot of chanifa going on, the end of the story will be L'Sayv Goylo. That community will go into Golos. That'll be the punishment. Why? They cannot have a kiyum. They cannot stay on their own country. The whole government, the whole country will collapse if everything is based on chanifa. Why? Because he has a Gzera Shova. Ksiv Hacham, one pasuk says, Ki Adas Chanef Galmud. The word galmud appears there. We'll see first, we have another pasuk in Novi where it says, "Yamart bil vavech miyodet liyisela, ani shchula v'galmudo golo v'sura." So you see there, golo, a person goes into golos if it's galmudo. Galmudo, the simple meaning of the pasuk is, the Jewish people are in golos and they're all isolated and they're all alone. But the Gemara takes it that in connection with the word galmudo, there the word golo appears. So here also, ki adas chanev galmud, a punishment for the community will be, I don't even know if it's a punishment, it's just a toitzor. That's what's going to happen. You have to have emes and din hashalom, al shlosh edvarim ha'olam kaim, al emes va'din va'shalom. So if you have chanifa, so there's no emes. It's not a punishment. So in the mail of the whole government, the whole country will collapse. There's no emes. Om Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, there are arba kitas, there are four groups of people who after they die, everyone goes to the Olam HaEmes. Ein mekablus pnei Hashchina. There are four groups of people that the Ribbono Shel'Olam will never want to meet with them. They're neshamas. Kat leitzim. They make fun of everything in the religion. Kat chaneifim. Those people who chant for the Rishoyim. Kat shakorim. Or the other gear says shakranim. Shakran, look, every once in a while a person does chamfer, but kat chanefi means that they do all the time. Kat shakarim, they always lie. A person tells a lie once in a while, that's not kal shakarim. Kat misapri loshen har. Everyone tells a little loshen har once in a while, but it's not all the time loshen har. Kat misapri loshen har, that's what Rabbeinu Yoni writes. Rabbeinu Yoni writes in Shari Tshuva, the kat leitzim and the kat chanefi means they always do like that. They always shakarim. They're always misapri loshen har. What is the mocker for all of these? That these arba kitas, these four classes of people, these four groups of people, when they die, they won't be mekabel pnei hashchinus. Each one has a separate person. Kat leitzim, the first group, that they're laughing at everything, that the Rabbanu Shlomo doesn't want to even look at them after they die. Dechsiv, moshach yado es lotzitzim. The Rabbanu Shlomo will remove himself from the lotzitzim, from the people who are always scoffing and laughing at every religion. And in front of the Rabbanu Shalom, one who chamfers others will not appear. So the Rabbanu Shalom won't allow him to appear in front of him. It means that he's always full of chanif. That's he always lives with chanif. How do you know kat shakorim? People are always telling a lie. There's no emes at all. The Rabbanu Shalom says, I won't allow one who's a devishkam, he's always telling lies. I won't allow such a person to appear in front of him. And Kapin Sapri Loshen Haradichsiv, there's a kapitel in Tilim, chapter Hey, where that parak in Tilim talks about Loshen Hara, that's how Rashi says. That parsha talks about Loshen Hara. So there it says, Ki lo kel chofetz reshat lo yigur hara. You are a God who our God doesn't appreciate rishis. He will not allow a ra to dwell near him. Tzadikat Hashem lo yoga b'megur chara. That's the interpretation of the pasuk. The last line in the perek is the interpretation. The previous line is the pasuk. Ki lo kel chofetz reshaat lo yegur chara. That's the pasuk. And the previous pasuk is talking about people that talk lashon hara. So people that talk lashon hara, that's called a ra. Such a ra lo yegur chara. The Rabbanu Shalom will not allow him after he dies. The Rabbanu Shalom will not permit his neshama to appear in front of the Kisei HaKavod. Yeah. So this is the Gemara is commenting that the Bo'ilam Hazeh, Mutal Hach Nefushan, Bo'ilam Hazeh means if there's Pikoch Nefesh. Tosfos says, whenever there's a Safik Pikoch Nefesh, so you shouldn't think that Chanifa is such an Issa Chomer, it's like Avodah Zarah, that it's Yehorg V'Yavar. So the Tosfos explains in the Gemara, no, whenever there's a Safik Sakonis Nefoshes, so Pikoch Nefesh is Safkoch Nefesh, is Decha Chanifa. Whenever there's anything less than Bikoch Nefoshes, it's Osir, and it's considered a very serious Issa because it rips apart the fabric of the society. It's going to ruin, it ruins individual people, and it ruins communities. So that was the gist of the Perek of Eil Ha'Amorim. Eil Ha'Amorim, the theme of Eil Ha'Amorim was various mitzvahs of Kriya, reciting Kriya Shema, reciting Shema Esrei, reciting Kiddush and Abdullah, reciting Mikra Bikurim, Vidui Meiser, which mitzvahs have to be done in the original Hebrew and which can be recited in translation. The next parak is a continuation because the Mashuach Mechama, the Mishnah starts off, the parak starts off, the Mashuach Mechama is a special kohen who's appointed specially for this function. He's the chaplain in the army. Okay, the Mashuach Mechama. He has the dinim half like a kohen gadol and half like a kohen hedyot. The Gemara in Yuma has 8 different dinim that are unique to a Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Mashuach Mechama has Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. That's why it's called Mashuach Mechama. They give him Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, but they don't give him the title that he's not appointed as the Kohen Gadol. He's a Kohen Hedyot with Mashiach. So he has Kedushas Kohen Gadol without the Shem Kohen Gadol. A real Kohen Gadol has Mashiach, or Bizman Baisheni, there was no Hashem and Amishcha. The Gemara points out in Yuma, it's a pasuk in Divrei Yom, Yoshio HaMelech is one of the last Melochim who is in the Beis HaMikdosh there, Malchut Beis David. So Yoshio HaMelech was going to is the Oran with the Luchas, with the Shemen HaMishcha, with the Tzintzenes Amon, a whole bunch of things. So there was no Shemen HaMishcha, the whole Tkufa is Bai Sheni, there was no Shemen HaMishcha. Now how did they ever have a Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says they had to have a Kohen Gadol, Meruba Begbadim. A Kohen Gadol has to wear Shmoyna Begadim, a uniform of 8 Begadim. A Kohen Hedyot only wears a uniform of 4 Begadim. A Kohen Gadol has to wear a uniform of 8 Begadim. So Bizman, from the days of Aaron HaKohen until the end of the Tkufas Bais Rishon, they appointed a person as the Kohen Gadol by giving him a Shicha B'Shemen Mishcha's Kodesh, by smearing oil, Shemen HaMishcha, by his eyebrows. A Melech also had Mashicha. If he's a melech from the Malchei Beis David, a real Mashiach b'shem and amishcha. If he's a melech, another melech from the Malchei Yisrael, not from the Malchei Beis David, that was imitation Mashiach. That wasn't the real Mashiach. There they used shem and afarsman. They really, they parsimony world. They didn't use real shem and mishchas kodesh. But the melochim from Malchei Beis David and the Beis Rishon, they would use real shem and mishchas kodesh. So the melech, when they do the Mashiach, they do like a crown, around and around, like a keser. And the Kangodle just do an X by his by the eyebrows over here, from one eyebrow to the other. Yeah, if he's a melech, ben melech, if he gets it birusha, then he doesn't need Mashiach unless there's machloikis, the Gemara says. The Gemara says, because of machloikis, you violate Mila b'shem and amishcha. So the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. No, that's the halacha. Whenever there's machloikis and it's not so obvious, whenever it's clear who's supposed to take over the malchus, so you don't need Mashiach by Malchus Beis David, so you don't need Mashiach b'shem and amishcha, you're not allowed to do it because it's Me'ila b'shem and amishcha. Whenever there is machloikis, so the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that the Yerusha doesn't work, and then when you choose which, when the Navi chooses which one of the children will take over the Meluche, so then the din requires Menatar, you have to do Mashiach b'shem and amishcha, and there's no violation of Me'ila b'shem and mishcha's kodesh. I think so. There was big machlekes, yeah. I think he
even
had.
Though it was clear from David's Tavar that he wanted Shlomo, but
yeah, but there was machlekes, yeah. I think so. So the Mashuch Muhammad has the Kohen Gadol has various dinim. He has to marry a psula, can't marry an Amon, can only have one wife. You need a Kohen Gadol to do the avodah on Yom Kippur. Kohen Gadol is not even allowed to be metami to the Zayin Kreivim, to the relatives at all, and he has to wear Shmoyne Begadim. So half of the dinim apply to a Mashiach Muhammad, half of the dinim do not apply to a Mashiach Muhammad. Mashiach Muhammad didn't wear Shmoyne Begadim. When he did Hakrovas Karbanis in the Beis Hamikdash, he wears Dalet Begadim. So that's the question, how is it physically possible to have a Mashiach Muhammad Bizman Bayisheni? In Josephus it says, the Ben Haschina quotes the Josephus. I'm not familiar. Ben Haschina quotes that it says in Josephus that Yehuda HaMakabi was a Mashiach Muhammad. So, Frekta Akasha, how was that physically possible? There was no Mashiach B'Sheminam. There was no Sheminam Mishcha. Yoshio HaMelech, at the end of the Tkufas Bais Rishon, were going as the Sheminam Mishcha. They never took it back out. They never took the Luchas back into the Bais Sheni with the Tzenes Amon, with the Sheminam Mishcha. They never took it back. It'll return back in the Bais HaShlishi, Lossi Lover, but they didn't have it Bais Sheni. So how do they have any Kohen Gadol and Zman Bais Sheni? The Gemara says, no, that's not Lachi. You can either make a person a Kohen Gadol by Mashicha, or you make him into a Kohen Gadol by having him wear the Shmoyne Begadim and having him do the Avodah. It's like Boyin Ke'echot. If you do Mashicha, so you make him into a Kohen Gadol first, and then he puts on the Shmoyne Begadim and he does the Avodah. If you don't have Shem and Amishcha, you tell him, wear the Shmoyne Begadim. I can wear the Shmoyne Begadim also. It doesn't happen. I'm not a Kohen. Nothing is going to happen. But if he wears the Shmoyne Begadim and he does Avodah, and he's authorized to do that, the Bez Nagolov authorizes him, so that makes him into a Kohen Gadol. So this is Nicha that had Kohanim Gedoilim Mizman by Sheni, Aidei Meruba Begadim. They put on Shmoyne Begadim. How could they have a Mashuch Muhammad Mizman by Sheni? The Mashuch Muhammad doesn't wear Shmoyne Begadim when he does Avodah. He only wears Abba Begadim. He does wear, the Gemara says in Yuma, he does wear Shmoyne Begadim, the Kohen Mashuch Muhammad has the right to be Nisha B'Urim B'Tumim. So he has to put on the Shmoyne B'Gadim with the Urim B'Tumim in order to ask the Urim B'Tumim.
But the Urim B'Tumim was hidden, so it was not around
anyone. It didn't answer. No, the Urim B'Tumim were there, but they wouldn't ask it because it wasn't going
to
answer anything.
You need to have a Kodesh in order to get the Urim.
Yeah, you have to have a Ruach HaKodesh.
The Urim B'Tumim was hidden.
No.
At the end of Shoma, well,
No. They Bizman Daisheni, they had Urim B'Tumim as one of the Shmoyne B'Gadim, and the Kohen Gadol, if he's not going to wear the Urim V'Tumim, he can't do Avodas HaKarbonis. It'll be Mechusa B'Godim. The Gemara just says it didn't function. So that's a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos and a Machlekes the Rambam and the Rabbah, but exactly what happened there in the Bais Sheni. So some of the Rishonim say they had the Beged, but they didn't have the Shem Amfeirish, which was written on a piece of parchment inside, because they knew it's not going to answer anyway, because you have to have Ruach HaKodesh. Mizman Bais Sheni, there was no Ruach HaKodesh, so they knew it's not going to answer, it's not going to function. So they needed the Beged to be Mashlam, the minion of the Shmoyne Begadim, but they knew it's not going to answer, so they're not trying to ask, so they didn't put in the Ksav of the Shem Amforish. The other Rishonim say, no, if you don't have the Ksav, it's not called the Beged of Urim B'Tumim. They had to have everything, the whole works, it just didn't answer, so they didn't ask. They knew in advance it's not going to answer any questions, so they didn't ask. But since there was no Ruach HaKodesh, so it's not going to answer. That's also a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. When do you have a Mashuch Mechama to recite the Parsha? So in the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, he starts off a perek. The perek begins with the words Echen Mechemes Mitzvah, Echen Mechemes Arishus, the Manim Koin Ledaber Ha'om. Both in Mechemes Mitzvah and in Mechemes Arishus, you have to appoint a Koin Mashuch Mechama to speak to the people, Baloshna Kodesh, to give this message. The Ravid writes on the side of the Rambam, it just doesn't make any sense. What do you need a Mashuch Mechama for Mechemes Mitzvah? The whole idea of a Mashuch Mechama is, he says, who just got married can go home. And who just built a house in Eretz Yisrael can go home. And whoever just planted a vineyard can go home. Mihu Isha Yori V'rach Alev of the four people who are part of the army can go home. Let's say when the war begins and I decide to go get married, so the Rambam quotes in Rishami, that doesn't part me from the drift. It's only if I got married first before they declared war. But if I got married in the middle of the war, that doesn't bother me. The Rambam even quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi. There is a din, let's say I give a girl a ring, and we're both going to college and we're both busy, but we want to get married. So I give the girl a ring and say, Harat Mekudeshesli, the Kiddushin should be chal the day after graduation. June 10th. Graduation, June 9th, let's say. He says, Harat Mekudeshesli, as of June 10th, and the war breaks out on June 1st. But I gave her the ring today, it's of January. I gave her the ring a few months in advance. So the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi that he's not part of the army. That when you make a Kiddushin that should be Chal on June 10th, it's not considered that I did the Maisa Kiddushin now, it's just not effective till later. Not just the Chalos is postponed. It's considered as if you didn't even do the Maisa Kiddushin till June 10th. So it comes out you did the Maisa Kiddushin in the middle of the war. You're not part of the army if you get married in the middle of the war. Only if you got married before, then you're part of the army. So the whole purpose of the Ravid is, the whole purpose of the Mashuch Mechama is to recite the Parsha in Hebrew, Dafke Baloshna Kodesh HaYimadaber. That's why the Mishnah has the dinim here, after Eilu Nemarim. That Parsha has to be written, that Parsha has to be recited by the Mashuch Mechama in the original Hebrew, as it says in the Chumash. And the exemptions from the army only apply in the Mechemes Rishus. The Mechemes Mitzvah, everybody is drafted into the army. So the Ravid asks, it doesn't make sense to have a Mashuch Muhammad and Mechemes Arishus. The Magen Mishnah... Oh, so maybe he'll just say, there are two parts to what he says. He says, those people who are potu should go home. And then he says, and those who are here, the Rebbeinu Shalom should... Al Tiru, Val Tartzu... Right, but the other half of the Parsha... So maybe only skip the half of the Parsha and only say the second half of the Parsha. The exception, the exemptions won't apply. There are no exemptions. Everybody's drafted into the Afil HaChosn. But the other part, Al Yerach Levavchem, Al Tirov, Al Tachzim, Al Yerach Levavchem, Ke Hashem Elokechem, HaHolichem Mochem, maybe he should say the other half of the Parsha. So the Ravid says that doesn't make any sense. The Ravid says maybe that's what the Rambam means to say. He should read half the Parsha. But he says it doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't it make any sense? So the Pashto says, the Ravid is saying it doesn't make any sense, because that's also Shaloi Kichsovai. To say half a Parsha, to leave out half. No. Why do you have to say Dafke in Hebrew? Because it has to be Kichsovai. So if you're going to leave out half of the Parsha, you're going to only say the second half. The Musa Shmuz, Al Tiru, Valtach, Valtartzu, Mipneim, Valtach Bezu, it's also Shaloi Kichsovai, because you're leaving out the first four Psukim. That's the Ravid's Taina. The Magen Mishnah points out that the Rambam himself in the Sefer HaMitzvahs writes like the Ravid. When the Rambam lists the mitzvah to appoint a Mashuch Mechama to give the talk to the soldiers, the pep talk to the soldiers in the army, so the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's self-understood that it only applies to a Mechemes Arishus. If it's a Mechemes Mitzvah, everybody's drafted into the army, so you don't. There are no exemptions, so there is no Mashuch Mechama. So the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah contradicts what he wrote in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, Stam doesn't make any sense. What do you have on Mashuch Mechama, Ledaber al Ha'am, by Mechemes Mitzvah? If there are no exemptions, that's the Pella. So Rav Soloveitchik printed a whole Shtikel Torah on this many years ago. He used to be a Rabbi Leventhal in Philadelphia. So he was one of the Ziknei Rabbanim. He was one of the Elter Rabbanim years ago in the Agudas Rabbanim. So I think when he passed away or something, so they published a whole sefer in his honor, and Rav Soloveitchik participated also. So after Hishtikal Torah was printed, so Rav Chaim Heller told him that he thinks that it's a misprint in the Rambam. Rav Chaim Heller published the Sefer HaMitzvos LaRambam. Rav Chaim Heller knew Arabic, among all the other things that he knew. So Rav Chaim Heller made a new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvos, and here and there it's relevant. So every so often he has a footnote when he writes a comment on the Rambam. So in this Rambam, where the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos that it doesn't make any sense to appoint a Moshuch Mechama by Mechamas Mitzvah, only by Mechamas Oshus. So in the footnote, he points out this problem that the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah contradicts it. The Rambam starts off the perk, Ech Mechamas Mitzvah, Ech Mechamas Oshus, Imanim Koin Ledabraham. So Abchaim Heller suggests he thinks there's a mistake in the Mishneh Torah. He says if you look at the end of the previous perik in the Rambam quotes the mitzvah, V'yosit Tielucha Lazeinecha, every soldier has to take with him a pack of food and ammunition or whatever, and he has to take a shovel. They don't have any portable toilets in the army, and we assume the Shechina is going with the soldiers to help them. Kashem Elokeichem Ha'elech Imochem. Hatzeleschem. The Shechina is going with them. So the soldiers in the army have to be careful. There shouldn't be any tzoya in the army base because the Shechina is there. But they have to go to the bathroom. They don't have any portable toilets. So every soldier has to take with them a shovel. Whenever they have to go to the bathroom, so they have to use the shovel to cover up a shabta v'chisisas te'asecha. So the Rambam ends the previous perek like that. Rav Chaim Heller said he thinks that this line that by us is printed at the beginning of Perek Zion, Hilchos Melachim, Echem Lachemes Mitzvah, Echem Lachemes Oshus, he thinks that this should be the last line in the previous perek. That the Rambam says every soldier has to have a shovel, so they should be able to cover up the tzoya, there should be Kedushas Makam, Echem Lachemes Mitzvah, Echem Lachemes Oshus, period. Then the next perek should begin, Memanim Koin Ledabra Ha'am, and it's self-understood that it's only by Lachemes Oshus. That's Rav Chaim Heller's suggestion. Now they have all the Kisveyad of the Rambam. There is no Ksavyad that has like that. All the Kisveyad, all the old Kisveyad, they all say the way it says by us, that that's the beginning of the seventh Perek, that both by Mechamas Mitzvah and Mechamas Avishus, you appoint the Kohen Ledabra Ha'am. But Rav Chaim Heller Gezoktzer, as far as Rav Soloveitchik is concerned, that's it. So he backed out from that whole shtickle term. So it's interesting, Rav Zevin has a Sefer Ishim Vishitos about different Gedolim. So he writes about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and writes about the Nitziv, and he writes about the Ragat Shover, about Rav Kook, about Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, different Gedolim that he knew, some of them he didn't know. And he gives you each one's style, Derech Haliman and so on. So he writes about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and then he adds on about Rav Elvalo Soloveitchik a little bit, and then he adds on about Rav Yoshebeh Soloveitchik, about the Rav. So he writes, the only shtickel Torah that he had from Rav Soloveitchik was this one, about the way Rav Soloveitchik faremfed the Stira and the Rambam. So he chaps his spilus from that. That's the shtickel Torah that the Rav backed out from, because Rav Chaim Heller said it's a misprint in the Rambam, that line belongs at the end of Perek Vav, doesn't belong. And Rav Chaim Heller gezogt, so that was it. So Rav Soloveitchik backed out. So that's the only shtickel Torah that he has. So he writes, what a wonderful shtickel Torah, Rav Zevin writes. Look, it's the same style as Rav Chaim. This is Tzvei Dinim, and this is one din. It is a fascinating idea, the way he farem for the Rambam. But Rav Chaim Heller said he thinks the whole thing is a misprint. So they wrote back that. That was interesting.
Maybe the Arabic version was different.
The Arabic that's in the Sefer HaMitzvos is written in Arabic and translated. That Taka says you only have a Mashuch Muhammad by Mechamas Rishus, not by Mechamas Mitzvah. That in all the translations says like that. But the problem is that the Mishnah Torah was written in Hebrew. And all the editions of the Mishnah Torah, all the manuscripts, everything, they all read the way it says by us, that both by Mechamas Mitzvah and by Mechamas HaRishus, you do appoint a Koyim Mashuach Mechamah. So that's the problem. That contradicts what it says in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Yeah, that's a question. Every so often the Rambam changes his mind. Look, he's entitled to change his mind. This looks like one of the places where he simply contradicts him. He changes his mind. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Mishnah Torah was written later. I think so. I think the Mishnah Torah was written after the Pirush HaMishnayos. Pirush HaMishnayos was also written in Arabic and translated into Hebrew, and every so often there's a mistake in the translation.
Oh, there'll be mistakes in the translation, and there's also other problems with that because of the censorship that was in the countries where...
Every so often, yeah. But I think the Mishneh Torah, the Yad HaZaka, was written after both, after the Pirush HaMishnayos and after the Sefer HaMitzvos. I think so. Yeah. So that's the Hemshech over here. The last Perek, Perek Zayin, was all about which mitzvahs of Amira have to be fulfilled after in the original Hebrew, and which can be fulfilled in translation. So the Mishnah mentioned...
Did they have?
So the... When did they ever have a war? Mechamis HaChashmonaim, they had a war. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes from Yosifon that Yehuda HaMakabi was a Moshoch Muhammad. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch asked. How is that possible? There was no Shemin HaMishcha. How can you make a Moshoch Muhammad? So they had to have a Kohen Gadol in the Bayi Sheni. They had Meruba Begadim. They had him wear the Shemayna Begadim and be Makru Karbali. But that's only good for a Kohen Gadol who does Avayda B'Shemayna Begadim. But the Moshoch Muhammad does Avayda B'Abba Begadim. He doesn't wear Shemayna Begadim. So you can't make him into a Moshoch Muhammad by telling him, put on the uniform of the Shemayna Begadim and do Avayda. Teignish. He does Avayda B'Dalad Begadim. Now, Vos, the Minchas Chinuch says, the Moshoch Muhammad, the Gemara says in Yuma, next to the last parak, has a tiny little parak. Only
the same person.
It could be the same person, but the Yosifon says that Yehuda HaMakabi was the Moshoch Muhammad, and one of the brothers was the Kohen Gadol, not him. Matasyo was the Kohen Gadol, and the son Yehuda HaMakabi was the Moshoch Muhammad. Now that's what he means, was that they made him, that's what Moshe Soloveitchik suggested, they made Yehuda HaMakabi into a Kohen Gadol, and the din is that you need a Moshoch Muhammad, doesn't have to be a separate person. If he's a Kohen Gadol, it's Yesh B'chlam Masai Mana. There's a Kohen Hedyot, and there's a Kohen Gadol that has all the 8 dinim, and there's a Moshoch Muhammad who has half of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol, half of the dinim he doesn't have. So, Kal V'chaimah, if the Moshoch Muhammad can read the Parsha, the Kohen Gadol can certainly read the Parsha. That was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's suggestion. Maybe they made Yehuda HaMakabi a Kohen Gadol, and then he used to read the Parsha. Maybe. No, I don't think so. The Begadim only makes sense in the Beis HaMikdash. The Big Dekuna are like Klisharis. So Klisharis don't have any role at all outside of the Beis HaMikdash. He's reading the parasha on the border when the soldiers are about to leave Eretz Yisrael, ala gvul, ala svar. The Gemara says on the last line on the Omer, medabrim achas b'svar, on the border as they're about to leave to the army, and then achas b'muhammad in the middle of the war. So he's reading the parasha chutz lebeis hamikdash. The shmoneh, the begadim don't make any sense at all. He doesn't wear begadim then. The only time the Moshoch Muhammad does wear begadim, shmoneh begadim, is if he wants to ask the Urim v'Tumim a shaila. The Gemara says. Then he does wear. So the Menchas Chinuch says, but it doesn't make sense that they made Yehuda HaMakabi a Moshoch Muhammad by having wear Shemayna Begadim. He should ask the Urim V'Tumim. He knows in advance the Urim V'Tumim are not going to answer. So what he's talking to the wolf. He's going to put on Shemayna Begadim and he's going to ask the Urim V'Tumim. He knows it's not going to answer. Knows it's not going to answer. But that's a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos and a Machlekes the Rambam and the Rabbi. Bizman by Sheni, the Kohen Gadol had to wear Shemayna Begadim, said he had to wear the Urim V'Tumim. So what does the Gemara say? The Urim V'Tumim wasn't there. So half of the Rishonim say they didn't put in the klaf, the parchment that had the Shem Amfirush. The Beged is a complete Beged without the Shem Amfirush. For the Shemayin of Godim, it's good enough without. But if you want the Ruach HaKodesh to function, you have to have the Shem Amfirush placed inside. And the other Rishonim say no. The Beged doesn't have a Shem Beged without the Shem Amfirush. They had to have that also. In order to, for the Kohen Gadol to wear all the Shemayna Begadim, he had to have the Urim V'Tumim with the Shem HaMefarish. The Gemara says the Urim V'Tumim didn't answer, so they didn't ask, and they knew it's not going to answer. Shai? There was an interesting comment. Rashi on Parshas Shmos says that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because the Ribbono Shel Olam appeared to him. The Medrash points out, Ribbono Shel Olam appeared 7 days in a row. Ribbono Shel Olam tells him, I want you to be the Shlich, to go to Paro. So he keeps on refusing day after day after day after day. So Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for refusing so many times. So Rashi quotes two different times. So Rashi says, "Halo Aaron Achicha Halevi, your brother Aaron Achicha Halevi is going to appear." So Rashi quotes the Medrash. The original plan was that you should be the Kohen and your brother should be the Levi. But you give me such a hard time, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to make you a Levi, and he's going to be the Kohen. So Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because he's giving the Ribbono Shel Olam hard time, chutzpah. He's taking away the kuna from Moshe Rabbeinu, giving it to Aaron. Then there's a few psukim later, a perek later, it says, Aaron will, hallo Aaron achicha, Aaron will come to you, v'racha v'samach belibo. Moshe Rabbeinu every day gives a different taina. So the final taina that he gives to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I think on the seventh day, is that it's hasogas gvul. One day he says that the Jew, I'm not worthy to be the shlech. One day he says that the Bnei Yisrael are not worthy, they don't deserve to have a gula. One day he says that they won't believe me. They won't believe me. Para won't listen. Every day nochatayin. And one of the last times, maybe the last time it was, it's hasogas gvul on my brother Aaron. Shlachno miyatishlach. My brother is already a Novi for a while, so it's hasogas gvul on my brother. So Rabbeinu Shlom said, "Vos hakstat shaynik hasogas gvul. Aaron Achicha is on his way. He's going to meet you. V'racha v'samach beliboy. He'll be very happy. There's no hasogas gvul. Aaron will be very happy." So Rashi quotes a medrash on that, v'racha v'samach beliboy, that because he didn't harbor any bad feelings, Aaron was a few years older than Moshe Rabbeinu. So all of a sudden, and he was already a Navi before Moshe Rabbeinu came on the scene. So one would have thought that he would feel bad. All of a sudden, his brother takes away all the covet. So Aaron was rewarded because of Samach Balibo. So that's how he was zeichet, that he has the Urim Tumim on his heart. So the Rishonim asked this kasha. What do you mean? He was zeichet because of Rochav Samach Balibo. Rashi already quoted the Medrash earlier, that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because he's giving the Ribbono Shel Olam a hard time. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Hala Aaron Achicha, Halevi Yadaiti, Kidabi Yadaber. The Ribbono Shel Olam already took away the kuhuna from Moshe and gave it to Aaron. Once Aaron is the Kohen, so he wears the big dekunas. So of course he's going to have the Urim Tumim. So what does Rashi all of a sudden say now? Quotes another Medrash, that Aaron was zechet to the Urim Tumim, because V'rocha v'samach b'libo, he said, no, he was ready zechet to the Urim Tumim when the kuna was taken away from Aaron and given, the kuna was taken away from Moshe and given to Aaron. So what does Rashi quote a Medrash later, that Aaron was zechet to the Urim Tumim because of the fact V'rocha v'samach b'libo. So the Ran in the Drushes. Oh, I don't know. So the Ran in the Drushes Aran asks this kasha, and he gives this teretz. He says, Aaron was zeche when the kuhuna was taken away from Moshe Rabbeinu, given to Aaron. So Aaron is going to wear all the Shemayim Begadim. The Shemayim Begadim include the Urim Tumim, but it doesn't have to have the Sheimam Furish inside. That's not part of the Beged. That was the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos at the end of the first Perek in Yuma, the Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the Beged has the Shem Urim Tumim even without the Shem Amfairosh, or no, even though it does not function, it doesn't, you can't ask and it's not going to answer, still, you have to, it doesn't have the Shem Urim Tumim unless it has the Shem Amfairosh. So the Ran says with this Shita, if he say, like Rashi writes on the Gemara in Yuma, the Beged has the Shem Urim Tumim without the Shem Amfairosh. So Aaron was zeichet to have the Shem Amfairosh inserted because V'racha B'samach B'libah, they're two different things. Kuna was taken away from Moshe and given to Aaron. Mele he was zeicha to all the Shemayim Begadim. But why was he zeicha later to have the Sheman Farish put on the cloth and put inserted inside the Urim Tumim? That was because V'rocha v'samach belibo, because he wasn't makpid. He didn't have any tainus of Hasagas Gvul against Moshe Rabbeinu. The Drosh HaSaran writes like that. The Faram for that Stira and the Rashi and Chumash. So here's the Mishnah is continuing really the previous Perek. But it's going to talk about all the dinim of Muhammad. The Perek is going to have many of the dinim of Muhammad. Moshuch Muhammad b'shosh medaber alam b'losh nakodesh ay medaber. That's to say in the original Hebrew. What do you do if the soldiers don't understand Hebrew? So the Mishnah is going to say they had people who would interpret it. We want the people to understand. So they had shochim who would, the Kohen Gadol doesn't have such a loud voice. They didn't have loudspeakers then. So the Kohen Gadol doesn't have such a loud voice. So they had shochim who would say it over to the tzibur. They should all hear what he said. So they would say it in translation for all of those that don't understand the original Hebrew. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Vayikin karav chamal mechama v'nigash hakoyin zekoy moshoch mechama v'dibra alham beloshen hakodesh." Shenema, how do you see Shenema? Where do you see? That's what the Gemara says. My Omar. The Gemara asks on the Mishnah, the first line in the Gemara. My Omar, what do you see in the pasuk? How do you see that as Baloshna Kodesh? Just because it says V'dibra Ha'om. That's the Gemara's question. My Kama, How does the Mishnah say Shenemar? It doesn't say anything in the Pasuk. Gam de marachi kama. Shenemar v'diber al ha'am. It says by the Meshoch Muhammad, the verb v'diber, ulahalan ho'ayme, by Maimon Hasina, it says Moshe yidabar al kimyan ene b'koil. When the Rebbeinu Shalom was proclaiming the Aseres HaDibur, so Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over, and that we all assume Maimon HaSinai was in Hebrew. So Malahalam Beloshon HaKodesh, Afkan Beloshon HaKodesh. It's a Gzeres Shavah. The Mishnah only has the first half of the Gzeres Shavah. Shenema V'dibur El Ha'om, and it leaves it hanging. So the Gemara fills in the second half. The Alfus says V'dibur V'dibur, Moshe Yedaber. There's a Gzeres Shavah that teaches you that the connotation of the word V'dibur El Ha'om means Beloshon HaKodesh. Some of the old-timers from the yeshiva, remember Rabbi Israel Miller told us. He learned in the yeshiva when Dr. Revel was the president. So he said whenever Rabbanim would come from Europe, so Dr. Revel would always invite him to give a shiur in the yeshiva. So he would always introduce the speaker and say who it is, and then he would his closing remarks would be, "V'nigash ha'koyin v'dibur al ha'am." He invites him to come to the podium and give the shiur. That was the punchline of his introduction all the time. Then he told us that he remembers Chaim Zimmerman always used to sit in the front row. Chaim Zimmerman could slug up anything that anybody would say. So he would wait till the Magid Shir was deep into his Tikkul Torah, and then he would turn around to the other Talmidim. Okay, now we're going to give him over the hand. He started to bomb the speaker with 100 different kashas. That's where Israel Miller's Zichronis from years ago. V'niga shakayim v'dibur al ha'om. Yeah. What does he say? So it says, the Mishnah, let's go back to the Mishnah. What does he say? V'yomar aleihem, in the fourth line, in the fifth line of the Mishnah, v'yomar aleihem, the kain Moshech Muhammad, tells the soldiers, Shema Yisrael, atem kreiv mahayom malachechem la Muhammad. Why does he say that expression, Shema Yisrael? The Gemara is going to comment on that. But the Mishnah doesn't comment. It says, Shema Yisrael, atem kreivim hayom aloivechem la mulchama. The Mishnah comments, why does it say aloivechem? Vojeden, of course, it's on the enemy. So the Mishnah says, historically, there were occasions where the Jews had waged war against each other. And after they waged the war, they had people who were taken captive, and they were starving, and they were barefoot, and they were crippled, and they couldn't walk. But then they were all achenim, and you saw them, they were all Jews. So they had rachmanis on each other. So the Meshulch Muhammad gives them a pep talk, and he says, "Atem kreiv malachama alei vechem, v'loy alachechem." This is not a civil war, Jews against Jews. This is a war alei vechem. Lo Yehuda al Shimon, v'lo Shimon al Binyamin. It's not one shevet against another shevet. Shim tiplu b'yodam. If you'll be taken captive, yirachmo alechem. They'll have rachmanis on you, k'mo shenemar, as the pasuk says in Divrei Yomer, "Ve'yakimu ha'anashim asher nikva b'shemes." The people whose names were mentioned previously then, the Rayomim, Vayachziko Bishivyo, the people who were held captive. So they couldn't walk. They were falling to pieces. So they held them, Mechom Aramim Hilbishu. The people were half naked, so they gave them clothing. Milbishim and Ashalo, from the clothing that they took, from the loot that they took. Vayabishim, Vayanilim, they gave them shoes to wear. Vayachilim, they gave them food. They were starving. Vayashkim, they gave them drinks. Vayasuchim. And they smeared them with oil. They took care. The prisoners of war were treated like yidden. They were yidden. So they had rachmanis on them. Whoever couldn't walk, so they had them ride on donkeys. And they brought them back to the other Jews. They had rachmanis on them. So the Meshulch Muhammad tells the people, this is not a civil war, that you're going to fight against each other, that they'll probably have rachmanis on you in the war. This is aleivechem atem holchim. This is against the nochrim. Shim tiplu b'yodam, if you'll be taken captive, em rachmim aleichem. And he gives them the pep talk, al yerech levavchem, you shouldn't be afraid, al tiru al tachbus, he repeats it four times. You shouldn't be afraid. There's a machlekes, the Rambam and the other Rishonim, how do you translate the pasuk, al tiru, val tachbuzu? So the Rambam says, you're not allowed to be afraid. It's an Isser. The Meshulch Muhammad tells the Tzibur, you're not allowed. He doesn't count it. It says four different expressions. He doesn't count it as four Averis because it's all a Kefal Alav. It's a repeat of the same thing. The Rambam has in the Sefer HaMitzvah in Shoresh Tes, the Rambam starts off with 14 Klolim. The Rambam has a Sefer HaMitzvahs where he lists off which, in his opinion, of the 613 mitzvahs. So the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs are the 14 Sharashim, the 14 Klolim, the guiding principles that determine whether anything should be included in the Minyan HaMitzvahs or not. Then the second half, he lists off which are the 248 mitzvahs Sese, which are the 365 mitzvahs Leses. Shoresh Tes is a very famous, from the 14 Sharashim, Shoresh Tes is very famous. So one of the things that he writes a few things. One of the things that he points out is, if you have the same lav repeated many times, you only count it once. The one exception to the rule that's a pella, the Rambam counts by Yura, by Matzah, is two different lavim. So that the Kesef Mishnah doesn't know how to understand that. Why is by Yura, by Matzah, it's exactly the same thing. You're not allowed to keep chametz in your possession. So that's a pella. Everybody stands on their head to try to find out for why the Rambam counts it twice. But by Temura, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamaroisa, it says if you have a carbon, you're not allowed to switch the Kedusha from this carbon to another behemoth. The Rambam only counts it once. Why? Because it's a kefal alav, a repeat of the exact same lav. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says the kasha on the first daf in Chulin, why don't you count lo yachlifenu v'lo yamaroisa as two different lavim? The two different sukkim should be counted as two different lavim. This is Tosfos lishitosam, because the Gemara says in Psochem and in the end of Makkos, we learned it when we learned Makkos together. The Gemara says sometimes if you eat a tray for fish, you get six times Malkos. So where did you come up with six times Malkos? So Rashi and Tosfos and the Goinim, and most of the Rishonim understand that if you have a pasuk written four times not to eat a tray for fish, you get four times Malkos, even though it's a repeat of the exact same pasuk. It's repeated many times. And the Rambam doesn't agree on that Gemara. The Rambam says, no, there is no such thing. If you have the exact same din repeated many times, you don't get Malkos many times. So here, the Rambam counts it as one lav, because it's all a repeat. Yeah, the Gemara says sometimes you eat a tray for fish, you get six times Malkos. So the Rambam has a long arichas on this in Hilchas Macholas Asuras and Perek Beis, as well as in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He explains, no, each pasuk goes on a different. There's a lav you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher bird. There's a lav you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher fish. There's a lav you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher animal. So what if you have an animal that swims and it flies and it crawls on the ground? So the Ravid says, it can't be. Either it's basically a bird, or it's basically a fish, or it's basically an animal. How can you label it as all three? So the Rambam is not bothered with that. Since it flies and it swims, and it crawls on the ground, so the Rambam says, you're over on three lavin. It's a non-kosher bird, it's a non-kosher fish, and it's a non-kosher animal. So you already have three lavin there. Then the Rambam claims it's a separate lav. If you eat an animal, a non-kosher animal, that's spontaneously generated. Then the Rambam says, Ana, you're going to tell me that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. That's what Louis Pasteur said, pasturation. There's no such thing as spontaneous generation. So he says, whoever says like that doesn't know the ABC of science. We all know that there is such a thing as spontaneous generation. So the Rambam, he got it from Toras Kohanim. The Rambam quotes from Toras Kohanim. So he says, so that's four times Malkos. Then each one is another kind of a fish. If it's this kind of a fish, it happens to be a fish that has six different chunas. It swims and it flies and it crawls and it's spontaneous generation. It's spontaneously generated and it does another two things also. Each one is a separate law. But if you just have the exact same pasuk repeated the six times, so the Rambam claims you're not going to get six times Malkos. Whenever there's a kefal alav, you only count it once. So that's what we don't understand, why the Rambam counted Bayura Bayimatzeh as two lavin. That's the Rabbi Yosef Kare, the Kasha and the Rambam, in the case of Mishnah. So here the Rambam only counts it as one lav. It's a repeat. Al-Tiru, Al-Tarzu, Al-Tachbazu. You're not allowed to be afraid of the enemy, but the Rambam counts it as a lav. You're not allowed to be afraid. The Ravid argues with the Rambam. What do you mean you're not allowed to be afraid? What are you going to do if the soldier is afraid? The soldiers are always afraid. Even the tzaddikim, they're all afraid. How can you not be afraid? The pasuk means, al tiru, there won't be anything. It's a haftoche. You won't have to be afraid. Ki Hashem elokechem, misalf mekar machanechem, la'atzeleschem, v'losisabechem v'yedechem. Not that you're not allowed to be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid. It's a haftoche. Don't be afraid. It's a pasuk of encouragement, but how can you count that as a lav? The Ravid and the Ramban argue with the Rambam. They say, that's not a lav, that's a haftoche. There won't be what to be afraid of. But the Rambam learns that it is a lav. That's the problem. How can you have a lav that the person is not allowed to be afraid? Of course they're going to be afraid.
He can feel afraid, but he can't do a ma'aseh that indicates he's afraid.
And there's no averit to be afraid.
He's afraid, but he won't, can't do a maisa that will indicate that he's wrong, he's doing this. Then he's over the law.
Okay. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the answer. Okay. Maybe that's what it means. But otherwise, it's a problematic Rambam. How can you have a love that not to be afraid? The Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Moshiach Muhammad, when he gives on the Musa Shmuz, he says, people are going to get killed in the war. That's what he tells them. People are going to get killed. He tells them people are going to get killed. So how can you tell the soldier he's not allowed to be afraid? So you say he's not allowed to do an activity that... Okay? Maybe that's what it means. So the Mishnah has a comment. The Mishnah and the Gemara have a comment. Why does it say four times? It's a repeat of the same thing. Al tiru, al yerech levavchem is once. You shouldn't have a soft heart. Al tiru, al tachbizu, al tarzim ipnei. Why does it say four times? So the Mishnah and the Gemara explain because the Nochrim have four different psychological tactics that they play on when they wage war. They make a noise, they make a racket with the swords, with the spears, with the galloping of the horses, and so on. So Kenege, the four different shtick that the armies have to frighten the enemy, so the Moshiach Muhammad should say four times. They would get their horses to winnow, to make noises. They would go out of their way to make the horses make noises to terrify the enemy. They would clash the swords one against the other. The enemy soldiers would clash swords with each other just to make a racket on the Jewish soldiers. Altira, you shouldn't be afraid. Why is there a second time? Other shtick that they did. Al tachbisu is a repeat of the same thing. Don't be afraid. Mikol akronas, they used to blow shofar in the middle, onto rafan apachad on the enemy. And al tarzu, the fourth time it says mifnei kol atzvachas, they would screech. The soldiers would scream out loud, just onto rafan apachad on the others. So that's the reason why the pasuk is repeated four times. It's only one lav, or it's only one haftoche. According to the Rambam, it's a lav. According to the Raibid and the Ramban, it's a haftoche. It's basically repeat. It's written four times, corresponding to the four different psychological shtick that the enemy would do. Then the pasuk encourages the Yiddish soldiers that shouldn't be afraid. They should be careful for kedushas hamachane. If they have tzoya, they should cover it up, and they should there shouldn't be any erva liyabacha. Erva's dava. They should dress properly. Because the Shechina is there, and they have to, out of respect for the Shechina, there should be Kedushas HaMokim. There shouldn't be any Tzoya, and there shouldn't be any Meiraglayim, and there shouldn't be any Yerva. So what do you mean the Shechina is there? Ki Hashem Elokechem, Ha'olechim Mokim. What is that referring to? So the Mishnah has a comment. Heim Boim, the Oivdik Kuchavim Kambin, and Tzchana Shel Basav Adam. They're relying on the general of their army, that he's such a gevaldig general, he's going to help him win the war. Hashem Elokechem, you're not going with a human being. The Jews had a human being general also, but we encourage the soldiers that the Shechina is going with you. For example, Plishtim bo b'nitzchanu shel Goliath, the general of the Plishtim was Goliath. What was the end of the story? Nafal b'charev, Nafal u'imo. He was killed by David, before David was the melech, when he was just a shepherd. David killed him with a slingshot. And the whole army of Plishtim lost the war. He was the general. What was the end of the story? The Sof Nafal Becherev. They killed Shoivach. So the whole, all of the soldiers of Ammon lost the war. You're not coming with the boss of Adam. You're not relying on the expertise of the general that you have. You have to have a general also, but rather, you're coming, B'nitzchanu Shel Mokim, the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to help you win the war. And then, and what is the physical representation of the fact that the Shechina is there? What is that? Zeh machneh ha'oran. They would carry the Oran with them. That's a shayla. What do you mean they would carry the Oran with them? The Oran belongs in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Beis HaMikdosh. Well, so Tosfos has, there's a machlokes. Tosfos on Omid Beis, that's the last Tosfos in the Masechta. The bottom Tosfos on Mem Beis on Beis, it says, Me'elo HaTosfos Lama Tzasu Yosef. He ran out of Tosfos. There's a Sefer Be'er Sheva on the end of Soita, where he quotes from Kisvayad, he quotes missing Tosfos. You have other Kisvei Yad now that were printed. They have a lot of missing Tosfos. But in our editions, this is the last Tosfos. So Tosfos, the last few lines, quotes two opinions. And the Talmud, they quote a lot. In Saita, Tosfos quotes a lot from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Much more than in other. And every Daf, they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi to see how does it compare with the Babli. It doesn't always compare. So here they quote two opinions. One opinion in Yerushalmi is, Shnei Aranis Hayamayim, Zeh Sheyatzei Mama Mochameh, that had the Shiva Luchas, Mizesh Ayamayim, Hayabosevatar, then there was an Oren Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the other opinion is, Rabbi Yerushalmi Amin and Oren Echonohai, there was only one Oren. There are two opinions in the Yerushalmi. It's usually assumed that there were two Arenas, one Oren that sat in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then there was a separate Oren that they took out to the Muhammad. So that's when the Mishnah says, Zeh Mach Nahar. And they were punished. In the days of Eli, when they had the Muhammad, so the Gemara says they did improperly. They took out the Oren that was supposed to be staying all the time in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Echol. So they took it out to war. They weren't supposed to take it. So they were punished, and the Plishtim captured the Oren. And then it was a holasic to get the Oren back, because the Plishtim were suffering, so they sent it back. That was the Gemara that we discussed. Right. So now the Gemara is going to comment on the Mishnah. So first the Gemara says there's a missing line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the Kli Moshulch Muhammad speaks Beloshna Kodesh, Shenemar, B'nigashach HaMed Ibrahim, and where do you see a connotation that it has to be Dafke Beloshna Kodesh? So the Gemara finishes off the Mishnah. The Gemara says, no, it's a Gzeres Shova. That a Maimon has seen it, it says, Moshe Dabar Elikimiyana, and it would call Moshe Abeinu was speaking Beloshna Kodesh. So just like over there, the verb Yidaber has the connotation of Loshna Kodesh, so to over here, B'nigah Shalkoim V'dibir Alham is also B'loshna Kodesh. Then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, the second line of the Gemara, B'nigah Shalkoim V'dibir Alham, which Kohen? It says, HaKohen, with the Hey HaYidiyah. B'nigah Shalkohen, the Kohen. So it sounds like some specific designated individual. Yochol Kohen Sheyirtze, any Kohen you want. No. Then it shouldn't say HaKohen. The Gemara says, you can tell from the context of the parsha that it doesn't mean kol koin sheyirtz. The fact that it has a hey hayidia is already a dead giveaway that it's a particular coin who's designated for that. But the Gemara has another proof. The shoytrim say over what the koin Mashiach Muhammad said. They didn't have a loudspeaker. The Mashiach Muhammad says it once. And then the shoytrim say it over in translation everyone should hear. And there are hundreds and thousands of soldiers there, so they have to go tell everybody. So, Mashochim b'memune, Avkoyim b'memune, just like Shochma specific people who were designated for the job, police for the army, special police to make sure that everything functions properly in the army, Avkoyim b'memune, has to be Davke, someone appointed for that specific purpose. The aim of Kohen Gadol, maybe I require Davke Kohen Gadol. Moshe Soloveitchik said, if you have a Kohen Gadol, Yesh B'chal Masai Mona, he has the status of a Kohen Mashal Muhammad plus more. So he can certainly recite the Parsha. But the Gemara is asking, the aim of Kohen Gadol, maybe you require Dafka the Kohen Gadol should recite the Parsha. Maybe it has to be only the Kohen Gadol. Maybe anything less is not acceptable. So the Gemara says, wrong. Dum yid the shayt there. The Memune, the Kohen Mashal Muhammad, is parallel to the shayt. The Mashayt, the Shesh Muna Al Gabov, just like the shoter takes the police and the army take instructions from whoever is in charge. There's someone above the police. They don't make the decisions. They just enforce the decisions. So just like a shoter is one who has Mamun al-Gabov, someone else is above him who gives him the instructions. Afkoyin, the Koyin shouldn't be the top man, the Koyin Gadol. It should be someone below the Koyin Gadol who's taking instructions from someone above him, namely the Koyin Gadol. Afkoyin should be Sheish Mamun al-Gabov. Freg the Gemara, was his shlech? Maybe the Kohen means the Kohen Gadol, and the Mamun al-Gabav is the Melech. The Melech? Freg the Gemara, Kohen Gadol nami, who can Melech al-Gabav? The Melech is a higher position, and the Melech has to fear on the Muhammad. That's the Rambam calls it Hilchus Melochim and Muhammad Seyim. In our editions of the Rambam, we call it Hilchus Melochim, on the top of every page. But if you look at the beginning of that section, it's called Hilchus Melochim and Muhammad Seyim. The function of the Melech is Lilcha Mochamas Hashem. That's one of the major functions of the Melech. So the Gemara says, maybe what it means is, you need Davke Kohen Gadol. Maybe there's no such thing as a Mashiach Muhammad. Maybe you need Davke Kohen Gadol to read the Parsha. and he's parallel to the shaita. The shaita is a policeman who takes instructions from someone else. He enforces the decisions of someone else. And maybe the kohen is under the melech. The melech is the one who's going to fear under homochama. And the kohen gadol is the one who reads the parsha. And with the gemara, no, babi dosa koma. He has to have somebody above him in this area. Not that you have the kohen gadol has the melech above him. The melech is a different area. The kohen moshuch mochama is a kohen. You have a kohen gadol. Within the area of kohuna, you have a kohen gadol above the kohen moshuch mochama. So that's parallel to the shaiter. The shaiter takes orders. The shaiter is the policeman in the army to make sure that everything runs well. He enforces the instructions that are given by the people running the army. So it must be a moshuch mochama.
Sure.
Must be the moshuch mochama. That's how we came up with this idea. There exists. There's a kohen hedya, then there's a kohen gadol, then there's somebody in between that's known as moshuch mochama. Frag the Gemara, how did you know to invent a new position? There's a moshuch mochama. The Gemara in Yuma learns that from Sukkim that he have from the eight dinim of the kohen gadol. Some of them he does have, and some of them he doesn't have. He's not allowed to be metame to design kravim, but he doesn't wear shemayna begadim. And the other dinim, I think he has to marry a psula. Some of the dinim he does have, an almana. Some of the dinim he does have, some of the dinim he doesn't have. The Gemara explains the whole story there. So the Gemara asks over here, how did you know to invent a new person that there's such an individual as a Mashoch Mochama who's halfway in between Kain Gadol and Kain Edyot? Maybe there's no such thing as a Mashoch Mochama. Maybe the Kain who recites the Parsha is the Sagan. Maybe it's the Sagan. Who is the Sagan? The Sagan is the Kain who is appointed in the event. Once a year on Yom Kippur, you need dafka kain gadol to be makriv the kabbalas. All year long, you never need a kain gadol. The kain gadol has to be makriv a minchas chavitin every day. Chavita kain gadol doesn't mean that he has to be makriv it. He has to pay for it. He can either be makriv it or any other kain hedyot can be makriv it. He's the bala korban. It has to be paid for by his money. How does he have so much money? So they have to pay him a salary. Whoever is appointed as a kain gadol, he may be a poor man. So the Klal Yisrael has to give him a salary that he should be able to fund, he should be able to pay from his money for the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, should be karev on his behalf. What do you say there? What? Gadlei Meyachav. That's how the Gemara says in Yom. HaKohen HaGadol Meyachav, Gadlei Meshalachim means you have to pay him enough salary that he should be able to pay for the Korbanos and he should command the respect of the other Kohanim. Wealthy people command the respect of the rest of the community. So that's another reason why you have to give him a good salary. That's why the Gemara applies that, and the Gemara in Tainus applies that to Rabbanim also. The Gemara says at Din that the Balabatim have to enrich the Talmid HaChamim in order that they should command the respect of the rest of the Balabatim. The Gemara says that whoever was the Rosh Yeshiva in the Yeshiva, they used to pay him a lot of salary in order that the Hamoinam, that the Balabatim, should have respect for them. It's quoted in Yeridah, HaKoin HaGadol Meyechov Gadlehu Mishalechov. The original Pasuk Gadlehu is by the Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara in Tainus seems to apply it. Rashi on Tainus interprets the Gemara that it's applying even to Rashi Yeshiva also. The big Rabbanim, you have to give them a big salary, they should be respected by the Tzibur. So the Gemara says the Avodah only has to be done by Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And even you look in Parshas Vayikra, it says that the Parhalam Dovashal Tzibur is brought by Kohen Gadol, and Rashi on the Mishnayis and Megillah, and Rashi on the Gemara in a few places says like that. That's what it says in Parshas Vayikra. A parhelam davishal tziba means if the roiv hatziba violated an avera, so it says the kohen gadol is makrev that par. Or a par kohen mashiach, if the kohen gadol was machal shabbos b'shegeg, he does not yotze with a kizbo sira. He has to bring a special chatos, a par kohen mashiach. So the pasuk says the kohen gadol has to be makrev it. So Rashi learns the psukim kipshuta, the kohen gadol has to be makrev. You need a kohen gadol for Yom Kippur, and you need a kohen gadol another two times for the par kohen mashiach. If he himself is machal shabbos b'shegeg, he has to be makriv the korban himself. Or if you have once in a yovel, you have a par halam davashal tzibur that has to be offered by kohen gadol. It has to be korib by kohen gadol. So Taisus says that Rashi is wrong. There is no such din, even though that's what it says in Chumash. Taisus points out that Toras Kohanim says that it's lav dafke. We don't know what to do. What do you mean lav dafke? But the pasuk says you need a kohen gadol. So the Torah Kohanim says not to be taken literally. It's not true. You don't need a kohen gadol. You don't need a kohen gadol. The only time you need a kohen gadol is for Yom Kippur, Taisa says. That's all.
The Midrabbani you need a kohen gadol. The ritual holds the Midrabbani you need a kohen gadol.
No, on Yom Kippur there's a dispute how much of the Avodah has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. So the Kesem Mishnah quotes a Ritva, you don't need a Minator, you don't need a Kohen Gadol for everything. You only need a Kohen Gadol for the Yom Kippur Digadinim of Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur you bring Korban Tomash, Shachat Tomash, Shemein Abayim, same as every day. And the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol does that Hakrova also. So the Kesem Mishnah quotes a Ritva, that's only Midi Rabbonim. Whatever is a Yom Kippur Digadin, only on Yom Kippur, that you need a Kohen Gadol Minator. Whatever is a regular din, every day in the year, you have to be makrif to meet him. So that, the Kesem Mishnah quotes a Ritva, that requirement of a Kohen Gadol, that's only Midi Rabbonim. That's a dispute. How much of the Avodas Yom Kippurim needs a Kohen Gadol Minator, and how much is only Midi Rabbonim? Yeah, that's a big machlokes. So they had to have a backup, they had an institution of a Sagan. The Sagan is the assistant Kohen Gadol. Well, what way does he assist the Kohen Gadol? The only appointment is, in the event that the Kohen Gadol takes sick, or he becomes Tamei, or he's too weak to be makir of the Karbonos on Yom Kippur, so you have to have a backup. You can't use a Kohen Head, you need a Davke Kohen Gadol. So they had a man designated in the event that the Kohen Gadol, for some reason or another, shouldn't be able to be makir of the Karbonos, this man takes over. So the Gemara says, how do you know that there's an institution of a Mashiach Mochama? Maybe it doesn't exist. Maybe the pasuk that says, Beniga Shakam Dibra Alam is referring to this Gan. So the Gemara says, Al Pidin, this Gan is nothing with nothing. This Gan is not considered anything. You have a man as the backup. Let's say you have a president of Yeshiva University, and the board has in mind, in the case the president should retire today, who's going to take over the presidency? Or you have a person gives a shiur in the yeshiva, someone's the head of the kollel, and in case he retires today, in case something goes wrong, you have to have in mind who's going to take over. But that person doesn't have any position yet, that's not an appointment. That's all. The Sgan was not a memuna for anything, Al Pidin. Sgan was just the backup in the event that the Kohen Gadol should not be able to function on Yom Kippur, so he's next in line. But until the Kohen Gadol stops functioning, the guy next in line has nothing with nothing. It's Gonish Megonish. It's not a Memunah. That's what the Gemara ends. Fegmar, V'yema Sagan, five lines from the bottom of the Da. V'yema Sagan, maybe it means that the assistant, Kohen Gadol, the one who's going to take over on Avodas Yom Kippur, if Kohen Gadol can't be Makriv, so maybe he's the one who recites the Parsha. The Gemara says, no, that's not an appointment. The Sagan is nothing. Sagan la Memunah, the Tanya, we have a Brisa. Amar Rav Chanina, Sagan HaKohanim, he was the Sagan HaKohanim. What does it mean, Rav Chanina is Sagan HaKohanim? So he says, Lama Sagan Memune, I am the Sagan, Kohen Gadol. He says, Lama, for what purpose is the Sagan appointed? Shem Ira by Psul, the Kohen Gadol, Nichnas and Mesham Mishtachta. But calls man that there's no Psul in the Kohen Gadol, there's nothing. He's just next in line, that's all. He's next in line. Let's say when they choose people for the Knesset, so every party has a whole list of who, depending how many seats they're going to have, so they get 5 seats, 6 seats, 10 seats, 20 seats, whatever it is. So there's an next guy in line. If they'll get an extra seat, but because money they don't have the extra seat, is nothing. Whoever's next in line is nothing yet. Nothing happened. So the Gemara said, it's Gan Kain Gadol. Nothing happened. So there's nothing with nothing. Taisus points out, the bottom Taisus points out, mid the Rabbanu, there were certain functions that this Gan had. But on the level of their Isa, it's meaningless. He's just next in line. On the level of their Isa, he has no appointment at all. And here it says, V'niga Shakoyim V'dibral Ha'am, has to be a Koyim Dumi D'Shoyt, and one is Mamuneh for this purpose. So that's how the Gemara says, we see from the Pasuk that there is an institution of a Mashuch Muhammad. There is Kohen Hedyot, and there's Kohen Gadol, as Mashuch Muhammad is in between. Has half Dinim like a Kohen Gadol, half Dinim like a Kohen Hedyot. So then the Mishnah was commenting on why the Mashuch Muhammad says, Atem Krev Mayom Aloi Veichem, V'loi Alachechem. Why does he say Aloi Veichem? And why does he say the Lashon four times? The Mishnah didn't comment on the phrase Shema Yisrael. The Kohen Mashuch Muhammad tells the soldiers, Shema Yisrael, listen to me. What kind of a Lashon Shema Yisrael is not talking to the whole Klal Yisrael? It's just talking to the soldiers. It's not the whole Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara picks up on that. Maishna Klal Yisrael, what kind of a Lashon is that? It's not talking to all of Klal Yisrael. From the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Mishim Ba'ichoi. You see, Rashi points out a few places in Shas. Rabbi Yechanan never met Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yechanan was generations later. If he would have heard directly from him, he would say, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. When it says Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, means that he heard over in his name. He heard over, but he didn't hear it directly from him. The Gemara has a lot of times, Amar Rabbi Yudah Marab, Amar Rabbi Yudah Mishmuel, Amar Rabbi Abba Bachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, means that he heard it from him. But here he didn't hear from him. There was a big generation gap. So it's Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So what does he say? Pshat is like this, Omar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Afilu Lo Kiyamtem Ala Kriyash Mashach, is Ve'avis Yatim Nisarim Biyodam. The reason why the Kli Moshe Hunchama uses such a lashon, Shema Yisrael Atem Kreiv Mayom Lamocham Alei Vechem, he encourages them they should say Kriyashma. Even if you're not so religious, you don't keep all the mitzvahs, make sure you say Kriyashma in the morning and the evening. And even if that's the only schus that you have, Afilu Lo Kiyamtem Ala Kriyashma Shachas Ve'avis, that's already genuk of a schus that you should win the war. That's why he says Shema Yisrael. The Shagasari points out that this Gemara is assuming that Kriya Shema is deraisa. The Gemara Brachas has a machlokes whether Kriya Shema is deraisa or Kriya Shema is lav deraisa. Half of the Amoraim were of the opinion that reciting a Kriya Shema is lav deraisa. I bet it says v'dibar tabam shach b'chav kamecha, says black and white. Or it says now who be the retaruhu dichsid? It just means you should talk and learning. You should be ma'vesedra every day b'shach b'chav kamecha. Who says you have to recite Shema v'yoyim Shemaya? Who says he has to be this parsha? Whatever your favorite parsha, Mabesedra, Mishnah Yomi, Daf Yomi, whatever you want to learn. Yeah, to recite something. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara, where the Kriya Shema is deraisa. The insistence on Dafke reciting Shema, Yom Shemaya, is that deraisa? Or no, Minatari, you can recite any parsha you want, you can talk and learning anything you want, and it's only with the Rabbanon that you have to recite Dafke Shema Yisrael. So this Tanner, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is quoted by Rabbi Yechon and is saying, Afilu lo kiyamtem ala kriyashma, shachz vav yatin nimsarim biyodam. Obviously, he's assuming that Shema Yisrael is their eyes, so the reciting of Shema Yisrael is their eyes. Many years ago, what's his name? The one who put out the Torah Shleima, Rabbi Mendel Kasher. He published a whole book on this, that to be mechazik, the Israeli soldiers, they should be ma'ora them, they should say Kriya Shema, Shach Zav. So they instituted that in Israeli radio, when they start in the morning, they start with Shema Yisrael Shem Elkein Hashem Echad. And at night, the last thing they say, Shema Yisrael Shem Elkein Hashem Echad. It's based on this Gemara. He published a whole sefer, encouraging the army that they should do it, to encourage the soldiers to say Shema Yisrael Shach Zav. So they did it on the radio every day. That's how the Israeli radio begins every day. With Shema Yisrael, and it ends with Shema Yisrael. That's a shaila, how we paskin, whether Kriya Shema is derais or Kriya Shema lav derais. The first Taisus in Brachas raises the question, the first Mishnah in Brachas says that Kriya Shema shel laila you only fulfill if you recite after Tzeis HaKochovim. So in days of the Bali, days of Rashi and Taisus, that was not the practice. They used to daven mincha before Shkia, so then they daven Ma'ariv right away. They didn't have a pause of 45 minutes in between that they learned Mishnayos around Yankiv. That's a recent innovation. They used to daven Mincha and Ma'ariv right away. In fact, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Tolas Yankiv, if you daven Ma'ariv right after Mincha, you don't say Aleinu after Mincha. You only say Aleinu when there's a Het Yitzia Mibes HaKnesses. A lot of shuls, they still do like that. They daven Mincha, they don't say Aleinu, they say Bahur Rachm right away. They start Ma'ariv right away. Aleinu L'Shabech, you say when you're about to leave. That's why between Shachris and Mutzav on Shabbos Yom, you don't say Aleinu, you're not allowed to leave. You're not allowed to leave. On Yom Kippur, you don't say Aleinu after Mincha either. You got to daven all day long. You got to daven all day long. Yeah. In some camps, they told me, in some summer camps, they feel they can't keep the kids, they start davening Shachris on Shabbos late. 9 o'clock, then they feel they can't keep the kids till 11 o'clock. So they finish Shacharis, then they make a break for Kiddush, then they come back and they daven Musaf. So in some of those camps, they introduce that, they say Aleinu. At the end of Shacharis, after the Chazan says Kaddish Deskabo, they introduce that, they say Aleinu. The whole reason why we don't say Aleinu in between Shacharis and Musaf is because no one's gone anywhere. Aleinu you say when you're leaving. But if you do plan to leave, if you're having a Havsok, everyone's walking to the Chadar Ochel, everyone's going to the cafeteria to eat something, to make Kiddush, then the Taka should say Aleinu. He's supposed to say Aleinu. So the...
If you make a break for yeshivas, where they make a break for Kiddush before Tkiyas, see a later there?
Should.
It's like Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah, definitely.
Yeah.
Really.
If everyone's going to leave, they should really say Aleinu there. They shouldn't do it. They shouldn't have the Kiddush. Yeah. So the first Rashi and Taisus and Brachas raised this issue. What's going on? The Mishnah says, you're only Yotzei Kriya Shema Shel Arvis if you recite Shema Yisrael after Tzeisak Kachovim. Their practice was they didn't do that. They daven Mincha. They said right away Ma'ariv. And it was before Shkia, after Shkia. What's going on? So Taisus, so Rashi gives one answer, so Taisus gives a different answer. So Taisus says that the Gemara later that says that there's a machleg zarbuda nachachamim, when is the end of Zman Mincha? When is the beginning of Zman Ma'ariv? Rabbi says you have to finish Mincha before Plaga Mincha. Plaga Mincha is an hour and a quarter before the end of the day. And in the last hour and a quarter of the day is Zman Ma'ariv, you can dab Ma'ariv then. And the Chachamim say wrong. The Chachamim disagree. You can dab Mincha up until Sof Hayom, and then you can dab Ma'ariv after Sof Hayom, then you can begin dab Ma'ariv. So how do we pass on Halacha L'Maisa? So the Gemara says the whole issue was a Din de Rabbanon, and then whenever Machriya, usually Yochid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim, here they whenever Machriya, so they say it's optional. David Kemar Ovid, David Kemar Ovid. If you want to follow Rabbi Yudi, Gizun Tehet. If you want to follow the Rabbanon, Eichid Gizun Tehet. So Tosfos says our practice is that we dab in Mincha late, right before the Shkia. That's like the Rabbanon, that you can dab Mincha up until the Shkia. Then we dab Ma'ariv right away before Tzeisak Kachavim. That's like Rabbi Yudi. It's before Tzeisak Kachavim. So how are you Yotze Kriyashma? So that's like Rabbi Yudi already, that you can be Yotze Kriyashma after Plaga Mincha. So every day Tosfos says we do half like Rabbi Yudi, half like the Rabbanon. Tied to the Sasri, that's what the Rishonim ask on the Rabbeinu Tam. But the Rabbeinu Tam answers, that's what we do every day, a tied to the Sasri. We daven Mincha like the Chachamim, after Plaga Mincha, before the Shkia, like the Chachamim. Then we daven Ma'ariv right away, that's like Rabbi Yudi. That's like Rabbi Yudi. So the Pri Chodosh points out this statement that the Gemara says, David Kemar Ovid, David Kemar Ovid, if you want to follow Rabbi Yudi, want to follow Rabbanon, that's because the Chachamim, whenever Machriya and this Machlokes, so I treat it like a sveka de Rabbanon l'kula. You want to follow Rabbi Yudi, you want to follow Rabbanon. If they would have been Machriya, Yochid, V'Rabim, Malacha, K'Rabim, so you wouldn't have any option. You'd have to follow the Chacham because they decided not to be Machriya. So sveka de Rabbanon l'kula, do whatever you want. So sveka de Rabbanon, that's Nicha, as far as Davini Mincha Marv, that's the Rabbanon. But Kriyashma also. Kriyashma is the Chadin deraisa. So how can Tosfos apply David Kemar Ovid, to Kriyashma? So the Prichodesh says, you see that Taisus, the first Taisus and Brachas, Paskins that Kriyashma is the Rabbanon.
Rashi says with some that we say Kriyashma later.
Right. Rashi says Kriyashma Lamita. You Yotze Kriyashma Deraisa, but the Kriyashma Lamita. Right. There are different suggestions that the Rishonim give. So the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that it's David Kemar Ovid, he obviously thinks that Kriyashma is Lav Deraisa. Then there are Taisus in all over the place. But the Shagazari says, this Gemara is beferish that Kriyashma is deraisa. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, the reason why the Kohen Moshech Muhammad says, Shema Yisrael Atem Kraven, why does he use such a lashon Shema Yisrael? He's only talking to the battalion of soldiers. He's not talking to the Gantz Klal Yisrael. He says, what he means to say is, Afilu Luki Yamtem Ala Kriyashma, Shachas V'Arvis, you deserve to win the war. Could be. So the Shagzai thinks that the phrase Shema Yisrael means Shema Yisrael. It doesn't mean Lima Torah. Answer.
Yeah,
could be. Could be. Could be. Okay. Then the Gemara has a comment. Al Yerach Levavchem Al Tiro. He says four times. Why can I get the four psychological tactics that the enemy has when they would wage war? Then the Gemara explains, Tana Rabbanan on the last line, the Kohen Moshech Muhammad speaks to them twice. Pamay medaber imam. He appears twice. Achas besvar, once before they leave the borders of Eretz Yisrael, before they're about to go, and then the second time is in the middle of the Muhammad. So the first time he makes the announcement, Mihu yishasha eris yisha v'lo l'kach, whoever just got married should go home. Whoever just built a house can go home. Whoever just planted a vineyard can go home. Whoever's afraid, the four people, they should go home. And the Mishnah is going to give details about these four exemptions On the next daf, I'm then Gimel Amar Aleph, about the, all the details of the four Pturim, the Chazim Yacham Acham. And then, when does he give the Musa Shmuel Saltira Atachpasu the four times over? That's later, Bachas Bimalchama, in the middle of the war. Then he appears a second time, the Mishal Chachama, and he gives them the pep talk that the Shechina is with them and they shouldn't be afraid. They're not allowed to be afraid, or there's no need to be afraid, however you read it. Bachas Bimalchama, Bisfar Mahu Eimer, when they're about to leave the border of Eretz Yisrael, what does he tell them? Shimu Dvarai Me Orche Hamachama Vechizru. Go back home. The four people who are exempt should go back home. And Rashi and Chumash, the Shad is the Choizre Meorche HaMochama, the one who got married and the one who built the house and the one who planted a vineyard. It means if he wants to, he's Potter from the army, or he has to go home. How do you understand? He's permitted. It's a 4D. If he wants to, he can go home. If he doesn't want to, let him not go home. So Rashi Ala Torah says, the Minchas Chinam points out, Rashi in his commentary on Chumash says they have to go home. Rashi writes, if you don't go home, you deserve to die. I'm telling you, you must go home. The one who just got married, the one who built the house, is mukhiyev to leave. He's not allowed to volunteer to the army. He's mukhiyev to go home. That's how Rashi writes on Chumash. Apparently, we don't know of any earlier source. Rashi interprets that that's what it means, the mukhiyev to go home. And then, Bimelchama Mahoimer, in the middle of the war, when the Meshuch Muhammad appears the second time, what does he say at that time? Then he says the four lashonos, al yerech levavcham, al tira, al tachz, al tartzu, kineged arba dvarim, shehav dikacham osim, corresponding, why does he have to repeat it four times, that there's nothing to be afraid of, corresponds to the four shtick, the four tricks that the Ummah Salem used to have in frightening the enemy. Then the Gemara is going to have comments on the psukim in Sefer Shmuel. When David was a little boy, he was a shepherd, and he threw the slingshot, and he killed Goliath. So why is his name Goliath? And what's the lashon that he said? And why 40 days? He was taunting the Jewish people for 40 days. And his mother, he was a daughter of Orpah. Ruth and Orpah were sisters-in-law. They both married Machlon Vekilion. So the mother of Goliath is described as Horpa, and the Gemara has a tradition that's the same person as Orpa, the sister-in-law of Ruth, Orpa. The Gemara has a lot of comments on the names and on the places. A long discussion over here. Okay, maybe we'll continue next week. In this week's Sedra, you have Parshas Boy. That's the opening Rashi on Chumash. Quotes from the Medrash, why does the Torah begin from Bereishis? It should begin from the middle of Parshas Bo, HaChodesh Zalachem. That's the mitzvah Rishonish in Nitna Yisrael. The first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people as a nation. The mitzvah of Bris Milah was given to Avram Avinu. There weren't too many Jews there. There was only Avram Avinu, and later he had his son Yitzchak and Yankit. There wasn't a whole Klal Yisrael. But the first mitzvah, and then the mitzvah of Gidanosha was given to Yankit Avinu. There were only the Yud Beis Shvatim. There was no Klal Yisrael. But the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael is HaChodesh HaZalachem, the power that the Jewish people have to be Mekadosh Zman. That's why the minig is, when we bench Rosh Chodesh, what's the nusach that we say in the davening? What's the Hiratzen? I forgot. No, yeah, after that. Oh. Yeah, after that, I forgot about Nana Chazan. That's a beautiful tefillah for Geula. What's up? Is the mitten that in the middle of the Yiratzon Lefanechesh the Chadash Lanas the Chadash the Tavir Lev Racha Chaim Ruchem Chaim Shal Shalom at the beginning of a new month. So it's like on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur we ask for a whole year. So here we ask for the whole month. Parnasa Chilut Atzamas Yerushalayim Yerushchet Busha Chlima. Everything a general tefillah, but all of a sudden a special tefillah Miyuchad Mishasa Nisim Labesenu. All of a sudden, a tefillah for Geula. How does that come in over here, the tefillah for Geula? So the Mefarshim explained, because the koyach of Kiddush Hazman, what are we doing over here when we announce when Rosh Chodesh is going to be? We're following like in the days of the Tanaim, in the days of the Gemara. They used to do Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Kiddush, the power of Kiddush HaChodesh was given on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we say Mishos and Nisma Abasenev Golos and Yavdus Lecheres. The power to do Kiddush HaChodesh was given to us on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Schus that we are continuing to fulfill that mitzvah of HaChodesh Alechem to the best of our ability, the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us also a Geula, just like they had the Geulas Mitzrayim in connection with the Kiddush Man with HaChodesh Alechem. So to the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us that that Geula as well. So we have, it's interesting, the Gemara says, we have in the Nusach of the Davening, on Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, we say in the Davening and the Kiddush, Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. So how is it Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim? So Pesach is a dead giveaway, Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos is also not so bad. The whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Yachas HaMim Mitzrayim, Tavdunas Elohim, Alahor HaZeh, that's the purpose. What Sukkot is also Yetzias Mitzrayim. After Yetzias Mitzrayim, they were wandering in the desert for 40 years, and Baruch Shalom gave them a sukkah, kibah sukkah so shafta is b'nai, so it's also Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. How are you supposed to understand Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Medrash that explains a little bit, it's a Medrash the Gemara has in Rosh Hashanah a little bit, that they weren't enslaved by the Mitzrayim mamish till Pesach, already from Rosh Hashanah, 6 months before Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Avodah was Pascha. So Rosh Hashanah is also a Pesashtikl Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, because they no longer had to be slaves. They didn't have to work as slaves. And what's his Yom Kippur? It was Tishrei. It was Rosh Hashanah Pascha Avodah. What's Yom Kippur? It's a little unclear. So I remember once, Rav Soloveitchik thought, that's not why. He thought that Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim means the ability of the Jewish people to be Mekadosh Zman. We have the Kirk, we say Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Mekadosh Yisrael v'Yom HaKippurim. Mekadosh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Kedusha that we have the ability to declare the day as Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Pesach Shavuos Sukkot. So that was given to us at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim when the mitzvah of HaKadosh HaZalachem was declared. So that's why we have to say on all the Yom HaTovim Pesach Shavuos Sukkot Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's not because of some historical connotation. No, because al pi halacha, the koyach of Kol Yisrael to be mekadosh zman was given to us on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says in Arvei Pesachim, when you say Kiddush on Shabbos also, you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why do you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim? So if you look in Aseres Hadibros, Aseres Hadibros appear twice. So in Parshas Yisro, it says we should observe Shabbos, because the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in 6 days, so we should reminisce on Shabbos about Briyas Olam. Ki sheish yisyam imas Hashem as Hashemayim as Oretz as Hashem as Kol Shabbam Hayonam Hashemayim Akein Beirach Hashem as Yama Shabbos Vayikat Sheyu. So in the first version of the Aseres Hadibros in Parashas Yisro, it says that it's Zechel Maaseh Bereishis. You look in the second version in Vaschanan, it says V'zachar Tekevet Hayisa B'Eretz Mitzrayim. So the observance of Shabbos is in order to be a Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. What does that mean exactly, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim? So Rav Soloveitchik thought, so there are different midrashim what it means. Rav Soloveitchik thought, no, that's what it means. Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima Mishesh Yismei Bereshis. The Gemara says, you don't say Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadosh Yisrael V'HaShabbos. Mekadosh Yisrael V'Rosh HaChodesh, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Hazmanim means HaKadosh Baruch is Mekadosh the Jewish people, and we in turn endow the Yontif with Kedusha. But in Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima V'Hashesh Yismei Bereshis, they don't say Mekadosh Yisrael V'HaShabbos. Nonetheless, the Torah requires of us to recite Kiddush. So the Ramban writes on Chumash in Parshas Yisro, the reciting of Kiddush on Shabbos is like B'Kiddash Mishnas HaChamishim Shona. Just like the Shnas HaYovel, the Bez Nagodol declares Shana Zom Mekudeshes B'Kedushas HaYovel, the Bez Nagodol endows the year with Kedushas HaYovel. Bez Nagodol has to count which year it is to Shemitah. Then when it comes the 7th year, they declare this year is the Shemitah. Then the 50th year, it says, Yikidash Nimeshnas HaChamishim Shona. So just like the Bez Nagodol endows the 50th year with Kedushas HaYovel, so the Ramban writes on Zohar Yom Shabbos Lakacho, Zohar, the rabbis have a tradition, means you should recite Kiddush, Zachrei Wal Hayayin, and he says reciting Kiddush on Shabbos is along the same lines as endowing Yom Kippur is endowing Yovel with Kedushas Hazman. Our reciting Kiddush on Shabbos endows Shabbos with Kedusha. What does that mean? We're superimposing. Shabbos has Kedusha, it's Kviya V'kaima from Sheshes Mei Bereshes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us we should recite Kiddush to endow it with an additional level of Kedusha. You have such a din by a Bechor Behema Tehoira. If I'm a Jewish farmer and I have a Bechor Behema Tehoira is born, so the Gemara says it's Kodesh Meirechem, it's Kodesh by itself. Nonetheless, the din is, the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, Tagdish. Kola Bechor, forgot the Loshon, Tagdish Lashem Alakecha. So the Gemara says it's a mitzvah lahagdisha. Even though the Bechor is Kodesh Meirechem, it's a mitzvah that the farmer should declare that this animal is hereby endowed with Kedusha. It's not a statement that the farmer makes, I hereby declare that it is Kodesh. No, he's endowing it. I'm endowing it with Kedusha. The Gemara says that there's a din when you make a neder. Let's say a person took a neder, he's supposed to go on a diet. So he took a neder not to eat the potato chips. So the doctor says, what does it help that you're not eating potato chips, but you're eating kugel? So he says, the kugel should be like the potato chips. That's called hatvos. Then he says, what does it help? You're not eating kugel, but you're eating candies. So he says, the candy should be like the kugel. And each thing that he's not supposed to, he said, that should be like that. That's called hatvos. So the Gemara says, hatvos is only valid, it's a good neder, if it's hatvos v'dover hanodur. If the original Isa was taken machmas neder. If I'm going to say the potato chips and the kugel and the ice cream should be like chaza, should be like basa b'cholav, that's hatvos v'dover ha'asa, that's not a good hatvos. You have to make hatvos v'dover hanodur. So the Gemara has a whole machlekes hataraim in the beginning of Nazir. What if the fellow says, the potato chips and the kugel and the ice cream should be like a bechor behema toira. So one Tana says it's a dover ha'asar. Bechor behema toira is kodesh meirechem. It's kodesh by itself. And the Rambam paskens like the other Tana. It's a mitzvah lahagdishoy. And when the farmer declares this is a bechor behema toira, he's not just stating that it is already kodesh. He says, I hereby endow it with kedusha. That's called a dover ha'nodr. So just like by Bechor Behemet Torah, it's Kodesh Me'elo, but it's still a mitzvah lagdishoy. It's a mitzvah that the farmer should superimpose Kedusha B'dei Yodam on top of the Kedusha B'dei Shamayim. So the Ramban understands that reciting Kiddush on Shabbos is like V'kidashta Mishnasa Hamishim Shona. You should superimpose a Kedusha B'dei Yodam. The Klal Yisrael should add a Kedusha B'dei Yodam on top of the Kedusha HaShabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that's what it means. V'zachar tekebet ha'isa. On the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were given the koyach to be Mekadosh Zmanim. So not only do we have the ability to be Mekadosh Rosh HaChodeshim and Yom Yotayvim, the Pasuk says in Vaschanim, we have the ability to be Mekadosh Shabbos. That's what it means, V'zachar Tegeber HaYisa. And when we say in Kiddush on Shabbos, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, what does it mean? That's what it means. We, by our reciting Kiddush on Shabbos, we are superimposing a Kedusha B'dei Adam on top of the Kedusha B'dei Shamayim that Shabbos has as Kviya V'kaima. Mesheshes may bereshes, so we say it's a zecher letzias Mitzrayim. This power was given to us to endow zmanim with kedusha. That was given to us at the occasion of letzias Mitzrayim. That was the mitzvah achodesh azalachem and this week sedra. That's when that power was given to the Klal Yisrael.
So the question was, why don't we start, Kumash with a Kodesh HaZalachem? That was the original question.
Ah, that Rashi gives the answer.
Rashi gives the answer, right?
Rashi gives the answer.
According to this, you should start it.
When you were in Eretz Yisrael, there was somebody who contacted you working with disadvantaged children.
Yes, yes.
And you told him.
I saw the place.
Yeah, I was told that you cried. Are you setting up anything?
He's raising money. What's his name? Is that Stolina?
Yeah, it's Stolina.